The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Daf Tesva Magbeis. The Gemara says, Migdosh Rishain Mipnei Machorov. The first base of Migdosh, why was it destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Dvorim Shohoyuboy. Because of three Averis, three sins that were prevalent. Averis Ora, Gilioraes, Ushvichas Domi. Idolatry, promiscuity, that's adultery and incest, Ushvichas Domi, and the spilling of innocent blood. Migdash Sheni, but in the second base of Migdash, Shohio Oskin Beteira Ube Mitzvah Ugemilas Chasodim, they occupied themselves with Torah, and they occupied themselves with mitzvahs, and they occupied themselves with Gemilas Chasodim. Mipnei Machorav. Why was it destroyed? Because there was unwarranted hatred between the people. Lelamdecho, to teach us, shishkula sinas chinom keneged shleish averus, that unwarranted hatred between the people is equal to the three prime averus. Averis Ora, Gilarayas Ushvichas Domim, idolatry, adultery and incest, and the spilling of innocent blood. Then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lezer Dami Tervayu, Rishayni Mishenizgala Aveinom, Nizgala Kotsum, the first base of Mikdosh, where it was apparent what their Aveira was, it became also revealed to us for how long the Golus, the exile, would be. It was prophesied that it would be for 70 years, and after that, we would return to Eretz Yisrael. Achreinim shalenis gala avonam. But in the second Beis Hamikdash, where the Aveira, the sin, was not revealed, because sinas chinam, hatred, is in the heart. Lenis galakotsu. The time of the Golus also was not revealed. And we see that after 2,000 years, we are still in Golus. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, in his Hakdoma to his Sefer, writes that what is meant here by Sinas Chinam, the unwarranted hatred, refers also and basically to the Loshon Hara and Rechilus, to the slander and damaging talk which came about and which became very prevalent because of the Sinas Chinam, because of the hatred amongst the people during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. And so is this explained in the Gemara in Masechta Gittin and Daf Nun Hei Seif Omed Beis. The Gemara says, Akamtsu Bar Kamtsu Chorav Yushalayim. Yushalayim was destroyed because of a story of Kamtsu Bar Kamtsu. What was the story? Dahu Gavra Derach Me Kamtsu Ubal Debova Debar Kamtsu. There was a person that was a good friend of Kamso, but he was an enemy of Bar Kamso. Ovat Sudosa, he wanted to make a big party. Omale Leshami Zil Aisi Le Kamso. He told his aide to go and invite Kamso, also Aisi Le Bar Kamso. And instead, through an error, he invited Bar Kamso. Also Eshkeche Dava Yosef. He came into the Suda and he saw that Bar Kamso was sitting there. Omale Michti, Ahu gavra bal devoved ahu gabarhu. My boy socha kum puk. He says, what are you doing here? You're not my friend, you're my enemy. He says, leave. So Bar Kamtza said, since I'm already here, let me stay and I'll pay you for what I eat. He said, no, you must leave. He said, I'll pay you for half of the entire party. No, you have to leave. Yavina lochot de mekulis to dasai. He said, I'll pay you for the whole party. Omalele. He says, no, I don't want you here. Naktia biyode ve'ukme. He took him by the hand and he threw him out. So Bar Kamtza said, Oil ve'yaspe rabonim le'mochme. There were rabonim there. And they didn't say anything. They didn't stop him. Shma mino konichalohu. So evidently they are happy with what's going on. Ezel echol bohu kurtso be'malko. Let me go and tell the government. That time the Romans were the government over Yerushalayim. Let me go tell the government something which will create trouble. Malshinus, Rashi says. And he went and he told him a whole business, and from there came out the Churban of Yerushalayim. So we see that it was through Lashon Hara. The Maral in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael explains that not that this episode is what destroyed Yerushalayim, but this was a sign of what the generation was. And this is a sign of what was going on in the generation. There was this hatred, and there was this slander, and negative talking. And this was the gemara. This was the final straw, the finality of it. The fact is, he writes that these words, these names were strange names, Kamtza Ubar Kamtza. The word Kamtza comes from the word komets, and komets means a fraction, a part. In other words, their names show us that these two people were already for a long time predestined for Machlekes, that they were only a faction, and they were different factions. The Gemara tells us further on Nun Zayin Reish Omed Beis, the Gemara says, Bo Urei Kamagdela Keche Shel Busha. From here we can see that when there's a fight and someone is insulted and he's even insulted to the point where it's a public embarrassment, we can see how far it goes. Sha'arei sa'ya korish borchu es Bar Kamtza ve'echriv es beisei ve'soref es heicholei. We see that a korish borchu, because of that, allowed or even assisted that Bar Kamtza was successful in going to the government, telling them what Jews were doing, and taking revenge through this, which caused the entire churban. The Gemara brings a little further. And Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara relates some of the horrific destruction that took place during the Churban HaBayis. And if one reads through it, it's a story of a Holocaust. And it speaks of the Roman generals and commandants coming into Eretz Yisrael and into Yerushalayim and in cold blood murdering hundreds of thousands of Jews at one time, and even millions, and children and women. And then the Gemara concludes behind the Dome of Reblozer. And this is what Reblozer said. And he quotes a posuk in Iyuv Perikei, posuk Chof Aleph. B'shait Lashon Techovei, when the tongue is rampant, when you have amongst the people many Balei Loshon, many people who do not control their mouths, then hide, techovei, take cover. V'leisirom ishod ki yavo. And then you won't have to worry about the great churban that can come. So the Blessed said on this pasuk, b'sheit loshen techovei, b'chichurei loshen techovei. Hide from the machlekes, from the dispute, and from all of the faction fighting that is found. Then you will be safe. But Rashi explains, Hodamin leil shal yedei loshen hora chora vabayis v'nehergu kama revoves. This is referring to because Yerushalayim was destroyed because of loshen hora, and many, many tens of thousands of Jews were killed. Then it's time to take cover when there is Loshon Hora going around and uncontrolled and being rampant. Because if not, then, heaven forbid, the Churban is great. From all of this, we see the great effects and ramifications that sinas chinam, hatred amongst people can have, loshon hara, the slander and rechilus, and machlekes, and fighting and disputes. And unfortunately, not all of us take this seriously all of the time. Chofetz Chaim writes, Afilu dalomdim, not only people that are not knowledgeable, but even people who are knowledgeable in Divrei Torah, they don't realize the grave ramifications and the seriousness of all of this. So let us spend a little time this evening just speaking about and reviewing some of the principles and the ramifications of these averus. Now we find this was already revealed to us before the creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he said on all of the creation, Vayara Hashem ki tov, it's good. He liked what he created. And we have learned that the word tov is not a word that is to be used lightly. Kodesh Baruch Hu is called tov. Tov Hashem lakol. Beracham ova kol masov. He is good and his compassion is on all of his creations. The Torah is called tov. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. Torosi al tazovu. I have given you something good, do not forsake it. Moshe was called Tov, Yisrael was called Tov. So the word Tov is not a word to be taken lightly. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he said was Tov. That means it's good to the ultimate of goodness. It's perfect. There is nothing lacking. On Yom Sheni, on Monday, became an exception to this. The word Tov was not mentioned, even though on every other day and on the entire creation the word Tov was. The Medrash asks the question. Medrash Breshis Rabba Pashas Dalet Os Ches. What took place on Monday? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yihi rokiyah b'seich hamoyim. Let there be a firmament. Let there be some type of ceiling within the heavens itself, because there was water. There were the Maim Tachtonim, the Maim Elyonim, there were the lower waters and the upper waters. Bimadl Bein Maim Lamoim. And it should separate between the lower waters and the upper waters. Loma Enksi B'Sheni Kitov. Why was the word Tov not mentioned on Yom Sheni, on Monday? Reb Chanina Imesh Shebein Nivras Machlekes. Shebein Nivres Machlekes. Because on that day, Machlekes, division was created, as it states, V'himabdil Bein Mayim Lamoyim. A separation and a division was created. Omar Rav Tuvyume. Now Rav Tuvyume came along and said, but that wasn't a fight. That wasn't a machlekes the way we view a machlekes. E machlekes yi letikunei shel olam uliyeshuvei ein bo kitov. If a division, taking something and breaking it, even though it's necessary for the world, if on that we do not call it tov, so machlekes yihi larvuvei alachas kama v'kama. So a machlekes which comes destructively, how much more so? This was a constructive havdolah, separation. So a destructive separation, how much more so? And we see because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refrained from saying Ki Tov, from calling Yom Sheni with the description of Tov, of good. The Maral in Netzach Yisrael, Perikei, explains, the Torah tells us that the power of Esav is the cherev, the sword, al charbe chotichya. And the cherev is used for destruction, hashkoso. When Daniel the prophet had a dream, a vision, and he had a vision of the great empires, he saw the empire of Esav made of steel, and he saw him as a vicious beast destroyed. This is the midah, the quality of Esav, the Roman Empire that came from him. So he writes the Maral, steel, its objective is to separate, to cut. Knives are made from steel. Swords are made from steel. What do we use knives and swords for? To divide, to cut, to take something that is whole and to have it. And this is the opposite of binyan, of building. Building is when we take many things and we put them together. The sword is created for destruction, for cutting, to divide. And that's contrary to the creation. Sometimes we have to cut. It's necessary. But nevertheless, we are breaking. That's contrary to the creation. That's contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everything together. And the sword is used, and iron is used to divide. And this is why the word Tov was not used on the second day. Because Tov is used on something that is complete and perfect. And here on the second day, we had to take what was made as one and divide it, even though it was necessary for the world. But the word Tov could not be used on it. The Gemara brings, here in Gittin and Nun Vav Amud Beis, Titus Arosho, the Roman king, He took a sword, not al Saif, Begider es apreches. He went into the Beis Hamikdash, and he took a sword, and he cut the preches, he cut the curtains, which were before the Oren. Because this was his quality, this was his character, to be mashkis, to take that what's whole and divide it and break it. This was Mizera Esau, from the seed of Esau. And a miracle took place, and blood came out of the curtain. The Gemara brings there that the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu grew very much. And he sent a big storm to sink Titus' ship. And Titus said, I think that your strength is only on the waters. Come and fight with me on the dry land. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I will send one of my smallest creatures to destroy you. He said, Rosho ben Rosho, ben Benay shel Esav Rosho. You, Rosho, the son of Rosho, who comes from Esav. Bear your kalo yeshli ba'ilomai v'yitei shmai. I have a small creature, and its name is, it's an insect, it's a fly. I will send him on the Yabosh, on the earth, and he will make war with you. The Yitesh came, went into his nostrils, went up to his brain, and for 7 years hammered at his brain. This slowly drove Titus out of his mind. Finally, the Gemara brings Kishemes. Gemara brings Omar Pinchas ben Aruva ani o Yisi ben Gideli Remi. Pinchas ben Aruva says, I was by the nobility of Rome. And Ukishemes, and they said that when Titus died, Potsu es Mechai, they opened up his head and his brain. Umotza Kitsipu Drom Ishkel Shnei Shloim. Or Kigezel ben Shonam Mishkel Shnei Litrin, and they found that this fly had grown into a large-sized bird. Naktinon piv shel necheshes utzfonov shel barzel, and he had a mouth made of copper, and he had claws made of iron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that I am going to fight you with your own weapon. Your weapon is that of destruction, of iron. So I will fight you with iron also. And this is why he killed him in such a manner. And this is why we find in many places in the Torah that we are not allowed to use steel when it comes to building the Mizbeach, the altar, the Beis Hamikdash, because that was made for division. And the world was made to build, to take things and make one out of them, not to take one and make many out of them. Now, if this is what division does, even in non-animate subjects, so then how much more so division between people? And if this is the case with steel and iron, then this is also the case with the tongue, because the tongue also makes machlekes and divides, like the Gemara tells us. The Gemara said in Yuma that we quoted, it says, "Bnei Odom sha'echlin v'sheisin ze im ze, v'dekrin ze es ze becharbei shebleshenom." You have people that eat and they drink with each other, but then they stab each other with tongues which are like swords. And Yirmiyahu said, in Perek Tes Posuk Zayin, Chetz Shochut Lishenam, Mirmo Diber. Their tongues are like long, sharp arrows. They speak cunningly. Befiv Shalom Esreu Yedaber. With their mouths, they will speak words of peace to their friends. Ubikirbay Yosim Orvay. But behind him, under cover, they will set a trap and an ambush for him. The Gemara brings an Erechin on Tesvov, Sefer Amud Beis. From here we learn that the tongue is like a chetz, like an arrow of iron, that has the ability to destroy quickly and at great distances. This was already revealed in the Torah during the days of creation, what division can do. Then, immediately after the creation, we have the historical event of the Nochash HaKadmoni, of the first serpent. He spoke Loshon Hara and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said to Adam and Chava, he says, the reason why you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, from this tree, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ate from this tree. And through this he gained strength to create the world. And therefore he does not want anyone else to be as strong and as wise as he. Therefore he forbade you to eat. This was a total confusion and distortion of the truth. And Loshon Hara at his best. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam and Chava not to eat from the tree, the Teva song, for their own good. It's worthy to note what came from this. First of all, destruction of the world. Destruction, the serpent destroyed himself. Adam and Chava were chased out of Gan Eden. The world was a different world. It was a world of Gan Eden. And because of the sin that came through this, Eish Gan Eden, no longer did we live in Gan Eden. Misa came to the world. Death came to the world. Before then, there was no death. The great Tzoros came to the world. Curses. The curse of Bizeas Apecha Techalechem. The curse that man has to sweat for his bread. Three curses when it comes to raising children came to the woman. The tzora of pregnancy, the tzora of birth, the tzora of child rearing. V'hu yimshel boch. Man became a ruler over woman. Because of this. This was not the situation before. And the Nochash himself, the serpent himself, was a very blessed creature. The Gemara tells us, Mesechta Satan, Oru Mikol Achayos, he was king over all creatures. And he walked upright. And he had enormous intelligence. What did he do to himself? Loshon Hara doesn't only destroy others, it destroys the person himself. Oru mikol behema v'chayos hasoda. He became the cursed of all animals. He went from the very apex, Oru mikol hachayos, where he was the most intelligent and the king of all the chayos, and he became the cursed. The serpent today has no friend. There is no animal in the whole animal kingdom that will make peace with a snake. And Eva Oshis Al Gehoncha, he was cursed to crawl on his stomach. His legs were taken away from him. And forever there was hatred placed between the seed of woman and the serpent. We see its ramifications. And from here we see something else the Gemara tells us in the Erechin. We see that this hate, the speaking badly of other people, is the chet hanochos. This is the characteristic of the serpent. And the Gemara says, what is the characteristic of the serpent? He strikes for no physical pleasure. Other animals, Arideiris Veichel, they strike to eat, or they strike to protect themselves. But the serpent will strike and destroy for no benefit whatsoever to himself. The Gemara brings that the world to come, all the animals will gather around the serpent and they'll say, you have a very strange character, why are you different than all of us? And he'll say, my Yisra Neitzel Balaloshen, he says, I'm no different than the Balaloshen Ora, that's my man. The one that steals, at least he gets some, he's doing it for some personal benefit. The one that eats something he shouldn't eat, but the Baal Loshen, why is he doing it? The answer is, the Chazal tell us, because just like the serpent's nature became that of Etzem Hara, that of evil, to the point where he can destroy for no benefit to himself whatsoever, this is the character and this is the nature of the Baal Loshen, of those who engross themselves always in speaking ill about others. We go to another case. Yosef HaTzadik. Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el avihem. The beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. And Yosef brought bad tidings about his brothers to his father. Rashi brings the Medrash called Rosh Yereya Be'ochi Be'echov B'nei Leah Hoyamagid Loviv. Whenever he saw his brothers, the B'nei Leah, doing something wrong, he went and he told his father. Now, Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the Righteous. Loshen Hora is from the worst Averis. So what does it mean that Yosef, everything he saw them doing wrong, he would go and tell the father? So without a doubt, he was miskaven letov. He had good intentions. It was done for a purpose, to tell his father that they're doing this and they're doing that, and therefore his father should rebuke them and straighten them out. This is without a doubt. But still, what do we see? Lo ho'il klum. It didn't help him. Evidently, he was hifri zalamido. Evidently, he said maybe a little too much. Or maybe he gave it a twist that it shouldn't have had. Or maybe he was getting a little too much pleasure from this. But it certainly didn't help him. What happened from there? Yosef, it was decreed that he should go into Golus for 22 years. He went into exile. In Avdus, he was sold into slavery. And through this, all of Klal Yisrael went into Golus, exile, and slavery, and Inui, affliction, in Egypt. This is what the Sforim bring, all because of the hate. V'Yosef Hoyo, V'Yosef, V'Yove Yosef es dibosom ro, El Avihem, that Yosef brought Lashon Hara of his brothers to the father. And we see that from Lashon Hara can come Golus, and can come Avdus, slavery, and Inu in affliction. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, he says, this is what's happened in our Golus. Here we're in Golus for 2,000 years. And slavery, today slavery is very far removed from us, but there was a time not long ago when slavery was common to the world, and tragically Jews were slaves. The stories in the Rishonim where they would be captured and sold as slaves. And this was the Golus. Go to another one. When Moshe saw the Egyptian striking the Jew, he killed him. The next day he came and he saw two people fighting. This was Dothan Vaviram, and he said, L'rosh Loma Saker Echo, why are you striking your friend? And he answered and he said, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian also? Vayemar, Vayiro Moshe Vayomar, Ochei no da'adover. And Moshe feared, because he thought that nobody would know that he killed the Egyptian, or if anybody did see him, they certainly would not tell anyone else, because this was highly dangerous to his life. Ocheino da hadover, now the thing has become known. Rashi brings from the Medrash, Doag lei, why did he become afraid? Because Doag lei al shirobi yisrael rishoyim dalturian. He became afraid because now I see there are balei loshon hara in Yisrael. Omar me'ato shema enem ruin ligoel. Maybe now they are not fit to be redeemed. Ochei no da adover. No da li adover sho yisi tomo lov. Ma chotu Yisrael mikol ainumas li ois nirdim ba'avedis perech. It always bothered me, why was Yisrael, from all of the 70 nations of the world, why were they chosen to be enslaved with an avedis perach, with slave and cruel labor? Now I know why. Avol re'ani shem ruim l'kach. And now I see they are deserving, because they are dalturian. They're talkers. And when they saw me kill an Egyptian, they went and they told people, even though this can be a matter of grave danger. Again, we see that this hate can bring golus, can bring avdus, slavery, and inui, avedis perach, can bring affliction. Another case in the Torah. Miriam and Aaron were very upset when Moshe came down from Har Sinai. He never went back to his wife, while they also were on Har Sinai. They weren't as high as he was, but they were also heard the giving of the Torah, and they were commanded, Shuvah lachem lo aleichem, everyone should return to your wives. And therefore they started to complain and criticize Moshe. Vayichar af Hashem bom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry, and he struck them with saras, with leprosy. And this is a classical example of the Lashon Hara that we have in the Torah. And the Sifri writes on that, and the Rambam brings it at the end of Tumas Saras. He writes as follows. Arei Oimer, the Torah tells us, His beinenu ma'ira lemiryam anaviyo. Yishom elocho b'neged tzara'as, the Torah says we should remember this case and we should talk about this case. And we should think about it. Shedibra bo'achiyo shohayisa gedola mimeno b'shonim. She spoke about her younger brother. She wasn't speaking about someone older than her. She was speaking about her younger brother. B'gilos al-bichel. And she brought him up. B'sikono be'atzma la'atzila min hayam. And she even gave her life to save him. When he was put in the basket in the water. She stayed to guard him. And it was highly dangerous. Because they were breaking the decrees of Paray. B'hilai dibra b'gnusa. And she didn't speak just to degrade him and to criticize him. Elatoso. If she said anything wrong about him, it was an error. She's vosel ishanavi because she thought that he was like the other prophets, and just like the other prophets heard the Torah, and still they went back to their wives. So Moshe also. Behulei hikpir al kol advarim eile. And Moshe didn't even mind. She didn't say something that upset Moshe, because immediately afterwards it states, "V'ish Moshe onef mi'od," that Moshe was the most humblest man on the earth, which means it didn't bother him. And who did she say this to? The Sifri says she didn't go tell the world, and she didn't write it in the newspapers. She told her brother Aaron. She wasn't a gossiper. V'af al pi kein miyad nensho b'tzaras. And still we see she was stricken with this plague. Therefore the Torah says, Zechor, remember, Yisbeinenu, think about what happened to Miriam. Chaim writes, how many times do we say, well, this is a mitzvah to say, and this we must say. Well, before we do that, he says, we should feel Zohar, remember what happened to Miriam. So how much more so when we come to the people who do not have sense, the Rambam writes. That they talk and they talk about other people, about other things, other places. And they create, they criticize, and they tear down, and they destroy people's reputations, and they make machlekes. He says, how much more so do these people have to worry? Then we go to another case, another classical case. And this is in Shmuel. In Shmuel Aleph. Perechov Beis Posuk Tes. Vayam Deigo Adomi Vahu Nitzov Al Avde Shol Vayemar. Shol was chasing Dovid HaMelech. Before David was king, Saul was king, King Saul. And he wanted to find him. And he chastised all of his close aides and comrades. And he said, are you all on David's side? There's no loyalty to the king anymore. Why hasn't anybody told me where David is hiding? So Doeg, Adomi, who was one of the faithful servants of Saul, and Doeg happened to be a great man, and he was a great Talmud Chacham. And he was very high up in the hierarchy of the royalty. And he said, Re'isias ben Yishai bon Eiver, El Achimelech ben Achituv. I saw the son of Yishai. He came to the city of Nov, a city of Kahanim, and he went to Achimelech. And he asked for bread, and he asked for a sword. And Achimelech gave it to him. And Shaul became very angry, and he sent for the king, and he said, "Is this true?" And the king and Achimelech answered, and he said, "Yes, it's true. And what's wrong with it? Mi b'chol avadecha k'David? Don't you want that I should help David? Ne'amon v'chasan ha-melech? There's nobody more loyal to the king, to you, than David. And he's the son-in-law of the king. V'nichbad b'veisecho. And he's the most honored one in your house." So Achimelech actually was proud of what he did. And Shaul said, "Most Tomus Achimelech Atom v'chol beis avicho, for this you shall die, and your entire house." And he told his servants to kill him, and none of them would kill him. Vayema Melech ledeig, and he said to Doeg. Rashi brings in the Medrash, Nitfasta kidag. Here his name was written as Dag, as a fish. You have been caught like a fish because ato hilshanto aleihem. You are the one who said the loshon hara on them. Ato heiregesom. You killed them. And that day, Doeg went, and he killed him, and he killed 85 kahanim, and then the whole city they killed, miish v'adisha, every man and woman, every child, every animal. There was one survivor. Now here we see something further. This was not even classified as Loshon Hora, because what he said was not something that was negative to Achimelech. Achimelech thought he was doing right, and basically he was. But this is rather classified as Rechilus. Rechilus is even if you do not speak badly about someone. But you report to Reuven something that Shimon did or Shimon said, and even though it was perfectly innocent, if you know it's going to make Reuven angry at Shimon and cause machlekes, and there tareze kesheves domin, you can cause shvichas domin. See, Achimelech didn't do anything wrong as far as he was concerned. David was the loyal servant of Shaul, Chasan HaMelech, the son-in-law. And Achimelech was very proud of what he did. But Doeg knew that giving this information to Shaul, this would enrage Shaul and create machlekes. And therefore this is Rechilus, Rochel, Oselek Rochel. And this is Kimachri Vesa'olam. You can destroy our world with this. What came about from this? Achimelech was killed. The Kahanim were killed. The city was destroyed. Doeg destroyed himself, because from here Doeg lost his worlds. And Shaul lost the Malchus. He lost the kingship to he and his children forever. In the Novi later on it states that Shaul, that the Malchus was promised to him and he would have been a king forever. He lost it because of two reasons: because Nov Ira Kahanim and because of his hate with Amalek. So this was one of the reasons why he lost his kingship forever in Israel, and because of the hate of Loshon Hara or Rechilus. And then finally we have the Gemara brings the Masechta Erechim. Which is directly related to the Churban HaBayis. The Mishnah says, and Daf Tes Vav, What you say with your mouth is even more severe than what you do with your hand. That when the people came and they were only 1 year from going out of Egypt, and that 1 year most of it was camped by the mountainside, and they were 3 days from Eretz Yisrael, and they had received the Torah, and they said, no, we want to see first what's in the land. Shlach lof anoshim, send men in to spy out the land. And the men came back, and they were meitzi dibas oretz. They said loshon hara against Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Vayinusi esize eser po'amim." 10 times you have tested me, you have tried my patience. And the Gemara lists out all of the 10 tests. Shnayim b'yam, 2 on the sea; shnayim b'mayim, 2 with water; shnayim b'mon, 2 with the mon; shnayim b'shlov, 2 with the shlov, with the birds; achas be'egel, 1 by the golden calf; achas b'midbar poron. And on each one, I forgave you, but on this one I shall not forgive you. Ubezeh nishatim zadin, the decree was sealed that this generation should wander for 40 years in the desert, die in the desert, and never inherit Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Omer Ablezer ben Porta Boarei Kamagodl Keach Shel Loshon Hora. Come and see how great the power is of Loshon Hora Mimaraglim. Because Umam Eitzishemar, maybe you'll say there the seriousness of it was because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says just the opposite. Umam Eitzishemar Al Eitzim Vavonim Kach Am Eitzishemar Al Chavir Alachas Kama Vakama. And if this is the punishment for speaking Loshon Hora on something which is inanimate, which is on sticks and stones, than to say Loshon Hora against a person, how much more so? And every time I was willing to forgive, but this time not. And therefore was Nishatim, the deen was sealed, that we would not go into Eretz Yisrael. What does this have to do with our Churban today, which took place? Yeshua took the new nation into Eretz Yisrael. The new generation, and they were there for many, many hundreds of years before the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and then again before the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. What does this have to do? No. This was the cause, because the Gemara brings that on that night, the Torah says, it states, Vayivkoam balailahu, the nation wept because they didn't want to go into the land, because they were afraid they would not be able to conquer the land. So they wept. That night was Tesh B'Av, the 9th of Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you people that are speaking Loshon Hora against Eretz Yisrael, and you are weeping, and for no reason whatsoever, Atob bechisem bechia shelchinam, kevei ani aleichem, I will make for you this night a bechia ledoros, where it will be weeping for generations. And it was on that night was Chorav Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Vechorav Bayis Sheni, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And so on and so on. The Mishnah in Masechet Tainis, Hei Dvorim Iro B'Tes Ba'ov, 5 great national tragedies took place then. So this was the root of it, and again for this hate. And the Maral explains, because we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael like we came out of Egypt, Yad Ramah, through great miracles, and we would have kept the land forever and the Beis Hamikdash forever. But because there was a hefsik, there was an interruption, the generation that went out did not go in, but rather they brought self-destruction to themselves, and a new generation went in. It was a different level now. The Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus through Moshe, and the entry into the land through Yeshua were two separate levels. And therefore, we could not hold the land forever. And we lost the land. We lost it in the first Beis Hamikdash and in the second Beis Hamikdash. So here we see the enormous ramifications that have come and that can come from this Aveira. Let me just... This is the Derech Klal, when we are speaking in general. Let me just mention a few specific notes that our sages tell us about this Aveira. The Gemara in Erechin and the Tesvov Amud Beis says Omer b'chama b'chanina ma'idik siv. This that is written in Mishlei. Moves b'chaim b'yad loshon. Death and life is at the hand of the tongue. V'chi yesh yad l'loshon. What does it mean at the hand of the tongue? Yad loshon. Does the tongue have a hand? Le'meloch ma'yad me'miso af loshon me'miso. To tell us that just like a hand can kill, the tongue also can kill. Ima yad eina memisa lebesomaklo af loshon eina memisa lebesomaklo. If it's like a hand can only kill when you're within close proximity to the person. So would we say that also with the tongue? Tamalema chet shochut lishonam. We read a posik before where the tongue is called chet shochut lishonam. The tongue is like a long, sharp arrow. And an arrow can kill even far away. Ima chetz ar arboim v'chamishim amo af loshon arboim v'chamishim amo. If that's the case, a tongue is like an arrow, and it, so therefore it can kill 40 and 50 amos, 40 and 50 meters. But only 40 and 50 meters? Tamalem eshesu bashamayim piyam l'sheinim tahalek ba'oretz. Says another posuk that they speak from the earth and their words go up to heaven. They can kill, the words of the tongue can kill from the earth to the heaven. Then the Gemara says, if that's the case, so why does it call the tongue like an arrow? The kotel kihetz, because it has the ability to kill as swiftly as an arrow. Chet shochut l'sheinam. So then, if that's the case, why does it say Moves v'chaim b'yad loshon, death and life in the hands of the tongue? Like Rava taught, the boy chaim b'lishna, the boy misa b'lishna. He who wants life can get it from the tongue. He can speak, Rashi says, in Divrei Torah, in the words of Torah. You can speak good words. You can encourage people. You can do kindliness with the tongue. He who wants, it says, Oyaveho yechal pirjo. Those who love the tongue will eat its fruits. Those who love the life of the tongue, or heaven forbid, those who love the death of the tongue. This is what the Gemara tells us. The Maral explains in his Nesiv Haloshim. He says the hand is what a person uses to strike out. If a person wants to hit someone, he hits him with his hand. He wants to kill someone, heaven forbid, he kills him with his hand. So therefore, yad loshen, the tongue is like a hand. The tongue also can kill. But there's a difference. The hand kills physically. The tongue doesn't kill physically. Words are not physical. Words are non-physical. The tongue kills non-physically. If that's the case, then the tongue has far more power. Because everything that's physical is limited. That's why the Gemara says, a hand, it can kill if you're within arm's reach. Further, it cannot. An arrow is also physical. So it can kill 50 or 60 meters, but not further. You take a gun is an arrow. So it can kill a kilometer, 2 kilometers. But everything that's physical has its physical limitations. This is the chidush. This is what the Gemara is telling us. But the tongue, you can be standing here on the earth and your words can go to heaven. The tongue can kill without any physical limitations. And that's why we know words can travel, be safe, elamat safer, from one end to the other. Good words and bad words. And therefore the tongue has the ability to kill like a hand and an arrow, but without their limitations. Therefore, the tongue is something of the power of speech is something of a phenomena. It is not a physical power alone. And that's why the Gemara brings also a chayim v'amoves b'yad haloshen. Generally, you cannot have one object that is predisposed to two totally contrary powers. You can't have chayim and moves, life and death, be held in one object. But if we understand the tongue, if we understand the power of speech that was given to man, if we understand that that power of speech is far greater than the power of the greatest nuclear bombs, because they have their limitations, then we can understand also what Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, is telling us in his wisdom, Moves b'chayim b'yad haloshen, that in one object can be beheld two totally contrary powers. Because this power of speech that was given to man is from the greatest phenomena. And three things, therefore, were mentioned here. Firstly, it can act swiftly like an arrow. It can act in unlimited distances. And it can encompass two great powers, the power of life and the power of death. Then the Gemara says, right near there, next, Bemarova Amri Loshen Tilsoi. In Marova, in the West, they used to refer to the tongue as threefold. Threefold, it kills the speaker, the listener, and the one that it was said about. And here the Maharal says, in general, we find many times that the tongue is referred to in a manner of tilsoi, of three powers. Like we just mentioned before, it kills swiftly, it kills from unlimited distances, and it can encompass two great powers. He says, the reason for this is very deep. Why is it tilsoi? Why does it have this threefold power? Because man was made up of three parts. There is physical man, guf, there's the nefesh, the life and emotions of man, and the seichel and the intelligence and intellect of man. There are certain powers that stem from each part of man. The power of speech come and encompass and unite all three. This is what is so unique about the power of speech. Without physical mouth and tongue, you cannot talk. You cannot verbalize. Without emotions and this life that man has in himself, he cannot be a speaker. And without intellect, he cannot speak. And therefore, it is the unique power that draws and unites every part of the human being. And this is why the sages refer to the man as the medaber, the speaker. After he was put together, he became a nefesh chaya, the medaber, the speaker. And therefore, the power of speech packs a far greater power than any other power that man possesses. And therefore, it's tilsoi. It's threefold. That's why the Gemara says, "Kol mesaper loshen hora, magdil aveinis keneger averizora, shvichas domi megilei arayos." Whoever engrosses in this avera, his avera is equal to the three worst averas in the Torah: idolatry, promiscuity, adultery and incest, and spilling of blood. Because those three averas, each one stems from a different part of man. The idolatry is with the mind, and promiscuity is with the body, and shvichas domim, that's with the heart, because that comes from hatred and revenge. But Loshon Hara encompasses all of this. And that's what the Gemara meant, which we brought in the beginning, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of those three Averas. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed with the Sinas Kingdom, the hatred and the Loshon Hara. And to tell us that that's Shkula, that equals the other three. And the Gemara brings Unkelis, the Gemara in here in Gittin, Daf Nun Vov, Seif Amad Beis, Unkelis bar Kleinemus, bar Achtei de Titus. Titus Arosho, this great Roman king, he had a nephew. Sister's son was Unkelis bar Kleinemus. Unkelis was a very wise person. And when he saw what was going on, he decided, he didn't like the Romans, he didn't like his uncle, and he decided he wants to become a ger, he wants to convert. And Unkelis became one of the great gerim, one of the great converts of Israel, where he wrote one of the greatest commentaries on the Torah, Targum Unkelis. But before, he decided he'll talk it over with some infamous people. So Aske Letitus Benegido, through sorcery, he brought Titus back from the grave. And he discussed it with him. He says, who's the best people in this world? He told him Israel. He had a discussion with him. Then he brought up Bilam from the grave. Then he brought up someone that the Gemara merely refers to as Peshi Israel. That was a great kofer, one who denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral explains, why did he bring up these three in particular? He says, from all of the Averis, and from all of the great Rishoyim, evil person, evil people, you can categorize them in three sections. And that's the three chatoim that we mentioned: idolatry, bloodshed, and promiscuity. He says, idolatry, that's ra l'shamayim. That's evil to heaven. You deny the existence of the Almighty. And that's why he brought up the Poshe Yisrael. He brought up the great atheist. Shvichas Domim, bloodshed, that's ra l'briyus. That's the ultimate in being evil to people. And there he brought up Titus Arosho, Titus, the Roman leader. Gila Rais, promiscuity, who is that evil to? One is evil to heaven, the other is evil to people. Promiscuity, who is that evil to? He says, that's Rale Atzma. That's evil and destructive to oneself. Because that Avera brings a person, the Gemara tells us, to the earthly level. He takes the elevated level of man and the sanctified level of man, and he lowers himself to an earthly level. So that's self-destructive. One is destructive to heaven, the other is destructive to people, and this is self-destructive. And there he brought up Bilam. And from here we see that Loshon Hara, which is Magdil Avedis Keneged Gimel Avedis, which encompasses all of this, therefore encompasses evil to heaven, evil and destructive to people, and evil and destructive to oneself. And that's why the Gemara tells us that in Loshon Hara it becomes destructive to everyone involved. The Maral writes, Kol asher yesh le'esek im haloshon, whoever has an association with Loshon Hara, lo yetze noki mimenu, he will not come clean from it. Ki hura legamri, because it is the ultimate of evil. V'chol anegea bo nizuk legedel haros, and anybody who touches it will become burnt by it, because it's a keach nivdo bilti gashmi. It's a power which is enormous and has no physical limitations. And in this way, it's similar to the nochash, to the serpent. The serpent, we know, don't have asik. What does someone do when he sees a serpent along the road? Takes another road. Doesn't try to tangle with it. In conclusion, the Chofetz Chaim, in his Hagdoma to his great Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he starts to deliberate, why are we in Golus for so long? He writes that there would have been a possibility to say we should go to Golus for one day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day, which is 1,000 years. He says we are already in Golus 800 years longer than that. That was in his time. Over 800 years longer. Now it's even much longer. He says, why are we in Golus for so long? Has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heaven forbid, forgotten about us? And it's been such a golus hamar, such a bitter and terrible exile. She says, "Bemes le'olov chas v'sholom hutelun aseinu." We have no right to have complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki imal atzmeinu. If we want to have complaints, we have to have it against ourselves. Ki mitzidu noy le'yavatzer chas v'sholom. Hein leik tzori yad Hashem. Mahishia. Kodesh Baruch Hu has no problem to save us. He could save us keheref ayin, in the blink of an eye. Like the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzareches, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he met Eliyahu and he said, when will the Mashiach come already? He said, Hayom, today. Im bekele sishmaun, if you will listen to my voice. And he said, at that time, the 1,000 years was not even up yet. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring the Mashiach before the decree was up, because God will keach ha-tshuva, because tshuva is such a great keach. So he says, so therefore, if we're looking for complaints, we must look to ourselves, not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, now the question is in what should we look to ourselves? So he said, it's very obvious. Chet ha-loshon hu al kulei mipnei kama taimim. That the classical chet, which drove us into golus and is keeping us into golus, is the chet ha-loshon, the sin of loshon hara and machlekes. Because if this is what brought us into golus, then certainly we cannot come out of golus if it's still prevalent amongst us. If when we were in Eretz Yisrael and we had our Beis HaMikdash and we had our king, and it was this hate that brought it all down, so certainly we cannot rebuild our Beis HaMikdash and return to Eretz Yisrael and return the Malchus if it's still prevalent amongst us. And he goes through many of the sources, many of these which have been quoted. And then he says, it's evident, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when there's Loshon Hara amongst you, I remove my Shekhinah from you. How can there be a Yeshua without Hashem Shekhinah? He says, V'od. It states, Vayhi Bishurun Melech, in Parshas Zeisabrocha, B'Yisasev Roshei Am, Yachad Shifte Yisrael. And Rashi brings from the Sifri, Vayhi Bishurun Melech. There will be a king in Yisrael. B'Yisasev Roshei Am, when the heads of the nation come together, Yachad Shifte Yisrael, and all of the tribes of Israel come together, Emosai Hu Melech. When will there be a king in Israel? Davke Kishem B'Yachad Shifte Yisrael. Only when all of the tribes of Israel come together. V'lei Agudais Agudais, and not when there are factions and factions. Some people say, factions are good. This is true, perhaps, in the marketplace. Business. A lot of businesses are good because competition is good. But not in Israel. Some people might say that, but our sages in Torah says differently. He says, Vayhi b'shurun melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when will I return to become king in Yeshurun, king in Yisrael, B'sasev Roshayam Yachad Shifte Yisrael, K'shehem B'yachad, when Yisrael lives together in peace and harmony, V'le Agudas Agudas, and not in splintering groups. B'yadua, and he writes, the Dovezer Rogel Lovel Ayde Loshon Hora, that what splinters Klal Yisrael is Loshon Hora. This is, like we said, this is mavdil. This divides. And division, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to divide in the creation, he could not call that day Tov. Binyan, taking division and making one out of it, that's Tov. Taking one and dividing, no, that is Churban. That's destruction. Yitz Hashem, we should see Bekorov that all of our fast days should turn to days of Yom Tovim, and we should have the Yeshuas Hashem Keheref Ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come and take us from the Golus back to Eretz Yisrael HaBenuya. And we should see Vayehi B'Shurun Melech B'Yisaseh V'Roshe Om Yachad Shifto Yisrael. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.